You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, folks. We're back. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast. To the host of this here podcast, first podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up corner? No. Actually, Cop's not here. Hoping he's okay. He'll be back next week. Maybe he's out somewhere adventuring in Texas. But I'll tell you what. To the left of me, getting the studio all set up, sending me pictures, delicious looking food, Matt, Tom, the producer, MCTT. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Good to see you.
Been a while, right? What's it been, a few months since we've done just a Matt and Ted?
I don't remember. I was back during the home episode. Now we're back to the podcast. P97. Great to be here.
P97. The problem is I watch so much F1, it's always like, Daniel, yeah, P11. Like,
it
P97?
It's not P3 with that guy.
Oh, man. I will say that it was nice this weekend to watch a F1 race at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That seemed like a smashing success.
Oh, yeah. Like, the track was a little weird. It wasn't the most exciting race, but you can't beat Miami. You got all the celebrities there and everything else. And it looked awesome. But F1 races are a massive event. It's like, I think we've talked about it. It's like having every NFL team in one stadium every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a Super Bowl level, event was what they were billing it as. And all the footage I saw, I mean, they rolled it out as such, you know. I'm sure there was plenty of actual red carpets, but I didn't see any. But you know what I mean? Like, it was an A-list affair.
Yeah. And did you see in the middle they had like fake water and just had yachts in there?
Yeah. Were those real yachts or were those fake yachts that they just built on the fake water?
Oh, no. Those were real yachts they brought in and parked them there to look. So I was like, it's kind of weird that it's like a fake beach. But if I was down there and somebody's like, you want to go hang out on the yacht all day on the fake beach and you just have to act like you're on a boat, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Watch that turn, whatever one it was. They showed it a few times and I was just like, I had the same thought. Like when I saw this on Twitter, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then when I saw it on TV, I was like, that's the spot. That's where I want to be next year. Like, give me right. a boat pass.
I did the same thing. I was like, I'm telling you, when I first started watching, I was like, this is kind of corny, right? Because I got home Friday and like I wanted to watch practice because it was on when I was at work. So I like watched practice. I'm like, this is corny. And then by the time like Saturday qualifying came around, I was like, I want to be on one of those boats. That's the spot to be.
Wow, you watch practice too, huh?
I'm getting nerdy enough now that like, well, I don't always, but that was such a new track. I just wanted to see how it was going. So I just kept reading online, like people crashing in practice. I was like, what is going on? Yeah. So yeah, I got home. I was like, I got time on a Friday night. I wasn't like doing much. I was like, let's check out some practice.
Yeah, that would have been a good one to watch. I don't think I've made the practice sleep yet. But well, I watched qualifying where it was qualifying a sprint and then the race. So I did watch 3 days of F1 one weekend randomly because I didn't know that it was Friday. And I was like, qualifying's on. I got to watch qualifying. And then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, the next day I was like, the sprint. And then they're talking about the race the next day. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, 3 days of F1 is pretty nice, actually. I could get used to this. So that's why I was asking about practice.
And the sprint stuff is like, I think maybe they did it back in the day, but they just brought that back last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's relatively new. And it does add an exciting factor to the race weekend. But yeah, it's a lot. That's something too. Like, I don't know. F1's so weird. I was texting our buddy Gregor about it. So I was like, is it weird to you that like so many people are into it now? Like, does it bug you? And he's like, no, I want the sport to grow. But he's like, it is kind of annoying how expensive tickets are now. Cause like, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, I want to say with hard seltzer waters, right? Like we were on that early, like same thing with F1. Now everybody's in and it's like, crazy. Oh yeah, those tickets are mad expensive, Brett.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw an article that was like, oh man, tickets to this F1 race in Miami are like so expensive. And it was like, you know, kind of griping and like listing off all the prices. And then it was like, yeah, so they sold out in like a half hour, by the way, for like 200,000 people over the weekend. Like that is just like a footnote, like, I don't know if according to the market, they're actually pretty reasonably priced or, you know, if anything, a little on the affordable side. Like that's quick. Price was not a barrier.
Oh man. All right. Well, speaking of tickets for stuff, we announced today on KSW, Pain in the Grass is back. 3 days, Labor Day weekend, three shows, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. They say Friday is Incubus, Sublime, The Struts. Who else is on there on Friday? Oh, the Grizzled Mighty. We know them. We've seen them. I think have you not seen the Grizzled Mighty? There's
I've heard them. I don't think I've seen them live.
All right. Then Saturday's a banger. You got Alice in Chains, Breaking Benjamin, Bush, Aaron Jones, Walking Papers, and our boy Wyatt Only in the Wreckage.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we got Sammy Hagar in the Circle, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, Queensryche, Glorious Sons, Glenn Cannon's playing that day. But it's pretty big deal. And kind of lead me to my first question today. Also, I think the funniest part of the show today was Miles has a funny story about interviewing Thorogood years ago. And I guess he wasn't a very friendly person. And I was like, he's got that song, I Drink Alone. Like, you should go do the interview alone. And Thrill's like, I'll drink with him, this and that. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I should Google this. And I mean, within 2 minutes, somebody texted in and was like, dude, I don't think he even drinks alcohol anymore. He just sings those songs. I mean, Thrill looked defeated. And I was like, that's fair. Like, all right, you interviewed George Thorogood. A lot of people could say that. But like, oh, no, me and George Thorogood were drinking whiskey. Like, that's a little better of a story.
Yeah.
What's he going to say? But we'll, I know the men's room, we'll be there all 3 days. So kind of the jumping off point, by the way, I believe tickets go to castw.com, go on sale Friday morning. Sorry. So Matt, first of all, we've talked about best concert, but here was going to be my question to you and Cobb today. Like, does best concert always involve the best show, or do you lean more on best environment?
I mean,
it could be both. It could be the best show you've seen and the best environment.
Right. And yeah, I think environment has to play a pretty big factor. Now, Seattle's got like so many legendary venues that, like, you know, if you're catching someone at the Moor or the Paramount or the Showbox Market, like the history in some of those places, El Corazon, you know, there's just like a lot of history, and, you know, it's really cool. And then, but I mean, the real ones are like, you know, the Gorge, and then of course Summer Meltdown, like where the environment can just have such a huge impact. But I would say, oh, there he is. I would say, you know, the ones that pop out the most are generally both. I would say you got to have the show for sure, but you got to, you know, when the environment's there, and, you know, I've been spoiled to see a lot of amazing shows and see a lot of them in amazing environments. So like when I have to take my pick, it's influenced by both the environment and the show. And the experience of like the people I'm around, you know, leading up to it the whole day, all the excitement. It's just, yeah. So I would say the environment is a big part of the equation when you really like try and use the word best. You try and throw that around, Ted. I'm going to say the environment's important.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was, because it's easy to say what's the best show you've ever seen. But then I think, like, you know, the environment has such a big impression on it, right? We are recording there, Mr. Cobb.
Yeah, what's up, boys? Sorry. What's up, man? We can talk about it later, but it's been a wild one.
Yeah. That's what I said. We're going to take the positive side and hope everything's okay. And hopefully he's just stuck on an adventure somewhere in Texas. we're talking about, we announced Pain in the Grass today at KSW. So this was the question, like, it's easy to say what's the best show you've seen, but it's like, all right, like arguably, I think the best stage show I've seen was probably a couple of Avenged Sevenfold shows, but I don't know if I would call them the best concerts, because I've been other places where like the music was good, but the environment really helped.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just the artists. It's like the headspace you're in, the vibe, like just where the crowd is at, you know, like I feel like Showbox Market gets a lot of like points on its side only because like the venue is so good. Like even if the band is okay, you're gonna have a great time. And so, and who you're there with, and you know what you've been up to beforehand. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. It's tough to say. There's a lot of factors. It's multivariate.
Yeah, like Pearl Jam. I've seen Pearl Jam probably 5 or 6 times, but Pearl Jam at the Gorge is like a completely different animal.
That's exactly what I would say about Tool.
Yeah, good call, right?
Well, yeah, and this also gets me thinking about, it's tough because I've seen a lot of awesome shows and awesome environments, but I will say hands down the best show where the environment didn't even like matter because it was just so good was Miley Cyrus at the Tacoma Dome. I don't like that venue, but it was one of the top 5 shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
Transcended it and, you know, took it over with such force that you're like, wow. And it's so different from what I usually do. And it was just a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's an easy, like, best show in the worst venue is actually an easy answer. Like, best show in the best environment. I'm like, ooh, those will take me a while.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because, right, and Tool's a great example, right? Like, I saw him at the old Key Arena. Still a great show, but it's like, all right. But seeing him at the Gorge years ago, I mean, this had to be 13, 14 years ago on a Sunday night. I was like, this is mind-blowing. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Key Arena, not to take anything away from it, but that's, like, sort of a notoriously kind of bad venue, like, tough in terms of the acoustics and stuff. I mean, it's not built for music, you know? And something like the Gorge, I mean, God, just the landscape alone. Yeah.
I think Climate Pledge is a lot better now.
Oh, good. Yeah. I know they were trying to pay attention to making it more of an event space rather than just like a NBA you know, only. So, yeah.
No, I like the positive thinking there. They don't even have an NBA team yet.
I mean, we all know it's coming. Come on, dude.
We've invested a lot of stuff on this podcast, actually, over the years. So there we are, ahead of the curve.
I was going to say, Kyle, me and you, like, we've seen Grizz at Summer Meltdown also. And then, like, we saw him at the Paramount once. Still a fun show, but, like, it, I don't know, not the same.
Yeah, he's an outdoor, like, in the woods, get your groove on kind of guy. And, I mean, real quick, as far as the basketball team, boys, we were like the 13th media market before the boom, you know? Like, there's just so much tech money in Seattle. Like, at some point, some billionaire is going to make it happen. And guess who's going to be there? Us.
I mean,
well, not me or Matt, actually, just you, Ted.
Right?
Yeah, Matt's got his new like minor league hockey. And what was the other thing you were saying was starting down there, Matt?
That's the main one that I'm excited about.
Oh, okay. You were talking about something
season tickets.
Yeah, but yeah, and I'm just going to Texas baseball. So,
all right. Yeah, so, all right, that's kind of the point. So environment does that. Yeah, because I just feel like saying best concert or best show you've ever seen is just such an open-ended question. And like, it's like impossible to answer. It's like saying the best thing you've ever eaten, which I watched that show on the cooking channel or whatever. But like, if I asked you right now, what's the best thing you've ever eaten? I'm like, oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, how long is a piece of string?
Right.
Like there's no real answer. I mean, it could be anything. Wait, so who's playing at Pain in the Grass? I'm sure you already went over it, but what's just like the top two or three?
So it's 3 day, like a different show each day. So Friday's Incubus, Sublime with Rome, the Struts.
Wait. Sublime?
Yeah. And then Saturday is Alice in Chains, Breaking Benjamin, Bush, Aaron Jones that we've had on the podcast, Walking Papers. Our buddy Wyatt Only in the Wreckage. And then Sunday, Sammy Hagar in the Circle, George Thorogood and Destroyers, Queensryche, Gloria Sons, Glenn Cannon's on there.
Dude, that's legit. I'm not even pumping it up because this is like a KISW podcast. That's actually, there's like multiple bands in there that I'd love to see. George Thorogood, for instance. And like, dude, wow. That's, and one of the ones you said on Saturday too, I really love. I was losing track in there. That's sick.
Right. So that was kind of the, I mean, we haven't been going that long. We've only been going like 15, 20 minutes where you jumped in. But yeah, that's what I was just like. So what makes like, what's the best show you've seen and what makes it more like environment or the band itself? Because even like Avenged Sevenfold, right? Like I've seen them in a bunch of different venues, but seeing them out at the Gorge when you're painting the grass where it seemed like the entire stage was on fire. It was like, this is fucking unreal.
Yeah, that's and the energy builds too. Like there's so many good bands there, so they're all trying to outdo each other and stuff. I mean, Incubus, like that would be so sick to see live. I've never seen them live. Sublime, same. These are like some of my top hitters, man.
I've seen like a couple different incarnations of Sublime, right? Because I mean, obviously you're not gonna have the same band as the guy passed away, but yeah, I think the first time I saw them was like 2000 and they were the Dub Beach All Stars or something.
Long Beach Dub All Stars. Yeah.
Yeah. So, All right. Now let's talk a little more sports. So last week on Wednesday, the Seattle Sounders FC win the CONCACAF Champions League. So that gets them into the FIFA Club World Cup. Now, I'm still on the IR with this ankle, by the way. So I didn't go to the match. I was still icing it down.
It makes it sound like you're playing in the match.
Right. I couldn't be there.
I'm on IR, so I was gonna ride the bench, but I stayed at home.
Right. So I know there's like more rounds and everything, but like the Club World Cup is like the top team for CONCACAF, the top team from South America, the top team from the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah.
So now this is where sometimes I realize I'm more of a sports nerd, but I just tweeted out after the match. I was like, we want Liverpool.
Oh my God, dude.
And okay. People were like freaking out on me. They're like, Ted, calm down.
You're an idiot. No, we don't want Liverpool.
It's the same way that like how bad your college team is. But if you're 4-0, it's like, we want Bama. Like that's the whole joke. But I realized like.
Suns in four.
I was like, man, people are not getting this joke. People kind of jumped my ass. I was like, all right, man, it's just a joke about we want Bama, we want this, like we want Liverpool.
Dude, did you go to that game when Wayne Rooney came in like at halftime and put in three goals against the Sounders?
Yeah, I was at that friendly. It was right in front of me.
Yeah, that was brutal. I think actually I probably was there with you then. That was brutal, man. And I just like, I've been a long time. Okay. I feel like I was early saying that the MLS is going to be a really legit league. Like we were getting a few older kind of, you know, European guys, Prem guys and whatnot. And now we're getting them like a little bit younger, a little bit earlier, you know, Drogba and whoever else. And I feel like over time, you know, the money kind of dictates where the best players go. I'm not saying we're going to match up one-on-one with Europe right now, but we're closer than we were 10 years ago. And I feel like that's just slowly the way it's going. And 30 years, you know, who knows where the best players in the world might be playing. But as it stands right now, man, if Sounders go up against like a real, I mean, what I would consider like a real European club, who I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to be ugly, boys.
Well, yeah, but I think you're proving my point is that like people didn't get the joke. Like a lot of the college teams, right? Like when Coastal Carolina was like, we want Bama. Like, I don't think anybody at Coastal Carolina really thought they were going to be Bama. But it's just like the thing, like just the idea that you could play them in an actual game that matters in a tournament. I don't know. I was just disappointed in some of my Sounders fans. I thought it was a hilarious joke.
What's the podcast version of We Want Bama? That's the real question.
Like we're gonna overtake Rogan.
Yeah,
we want Rogan.
Like we'll have more listeners than Rogan. Like no, there's no chance. It's like, well, we both podcast.
We're coming for Rogan.
Right. I'm trying. I mean, what are the two biggest ones, Matt? Rogan and what's his name? That was Carolla. Does he still do his? He doesn't even do it.
I don't know if he's one of the biggest anymore. I mean, he's probably still up there, but I mean, I think he's. You know, I mean, I don't even know. I can't keep up anymore. You know, I kind of stay in my lane. I got a couple like Chris DeStefano and Tim Dillon and, you know, kind of keep it, you know.
DeStefano's funny as f***.
Yeah.
I love that dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you know who's my guy right now? Stavros Halkios. You guys heard of him? I was talking about him on when we had Tyler on. Dude, God, I just watched his little clips on YouTube. He just wrecks. Rex House. He's so funny.
We can't even say the name of his podcast on our podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of his podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
You guys know Drewski?
No. Who's that?
He's a comedian. He's big on Twitter and stuff.
Drewski?
Yeah. He does like a bunch of skits. There's a few guys I watch on Twitter that like he's pretty prevalent though. Like he was at the he was like on a stage this weekend at the Kentucky Derby with like Drake and oh Christ, who's my white guy that just put out an album?
I don't know, Dave.
No
rapper.
Yeah, rapper. Boy Wonder is going to help me with my jumper.
Oh, dude. Wait, are you talking about? I was just saying, I wanted to see. Does he have curly hair? Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow. So it's funny. It's the three of them on a stage and the crowd's like chanting for Drewski. It's like he does awesome skits and stuff. Like it's kind of, I mean, look, I'll just be honest. Like it's not tailored for three white guys, but it's hilarious. And like some of the skits are awesome, but it sends me down these wormholes of like ghetto videos and this and that. Like I was watching one. It's like two nerdy dudes in a like school library and the guy's Googling. It's like, funny fat guy and or it's like funny black guy in vest. Funny fat black guy in vest. And the other guy goes, are you trying to Google Drewski? No.
That's awesome. Oh man.
But those guys, I like them. They do like high quality skits, but they just do them on their own. Like they just kind of have their buddies at the house and like pump that stuff out.
Dude, that's how Workaholics got started. I don't know if you guys ever saw that show, but they literally just were doing it on YouTube in their backyard and got picked up. It's pretty cool. Ted, also, I didn't really think about this, but how is your stiff arm?
Oh, Christ, I don't know. I never got to run a football.
Because with you on the IR right now, I'm thinking forward and I'm like, okay, so we had like the Will Smith slap, right?
Right.
Over the weekend, somebody tried to tackle Dave Chappelle while he's on stage. And guess who's doing announcements at Pain in the Grass?
Oh, Jesus, man. I mean, no. I think I'd be all right in that situation. I'm thinking about running down a field and stiff arm.
I want that stiff arm tight by the end of summer, man. Now you got something to train for. You get taken out in front of the White River Amphitheater. Like, that's going to go down. You know, that's a tough L. But you stiff arm a man and you stand your ground on that stage. Wow, instant legend. It's all upside, baby. That's all I'm saying. If you get tackled, nobody takes it away from you, you know?
Did you see that girl that tried to run up to on the cage at the UFC over the weekend?
No, Jesus. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's like a trend. No, what happened to her?
Oh, it did not end well. Like, she hops out. She makes it all the way to the cage. And like, literally what you're talking about, the security guard was just like, nope.
And I mean, did you see the arm of the guy who went after Dave Chappelle?
Ooh.
When they were loading him in?
Yeah. Well, he's also cuffed to the gurney.
Dude, his arm was like flipped inside. That was pretty nasty. Anyway, Ted, I feel like I say this and you kind of laugh it off. And then I've known Ted for a long time, for people listening. You know, tomorrow, like 9 a.m. when he's in the lab, in the gym, he's just going to like get a couple extra pumps with that right bicep. He's like, you know what? Let's get it.
Oh, I dip on somebody. Deliver the blow.
Yeah, why not, dude? And, like, excessive juice.
Excessive juice. It's back. Oh, what else I want to bring up there? Oh, I was just going to say real quick, Cinco de Mayo. I had a burrito over at the Matador, right? Like, I forget, like, I love Mexican food, but like, when you go somewhere that has really good Mexican food, it's like, God damn, this is delicious.
Yeah.
That thing was a beast, man.
Yeah, Matador hits too. That's they know what they're doing, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like Cinco de Mayo. I know it's a made-up holiday and it's just one battle. They didn't even win the war, but who cares? It's good
experience. Mate,
get out, drink some tequila.
Isn't every holiday a made-up holiday? Like, pets don't know when holidays are, you know? Animals in the forest are not like, oh, it's Christmas today. Like, Bambi's like, the fuck out of here with that. Sorry, Matt.
It's all good.
But they're fun. Holidays are awesome. We get to bust out dip or fireworks or Santa or whatever.
I like that. We're going to go to break. We should end on that. Aren't all holidays made up? All right. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being here. We got a full squad now. A lot of people are wondering. Quick injury update. Ankle's still kind of bruised up. I've been icing it, keeping it elevated. So I should be back in action next week.
So you missed the game this last weekend?
I did. Yeah. I skipped the game. And then, yeah, I mean, it's a gnarly bone bruise.
Really?
There's still a knot on it. So I'm like, all right. And then, you know, I talked to my buddy, it's a physical trainer. He's like, he goes, you don't want to hear it, but you just got to rest it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Classic.
All right, Mr. Cobb, you have a story before we get to the emails.
I do. So, all right. It's a small town hero story. I'll start off by saying that. So last night, so my sister's in town visiting and it's her last night. So I get out of work yesterday and I'm like, hey, where do you want to go for dinner? We'll take you out. We're going to go get burgers at this spot called Dan's that I love. She's like, you know what? Let's do barbecue. I'm like, okay, great. I love barbecue. So her, myself and my girlfriend decide to walk over to barbecue and, our neighbor had just told us about a spot that he really likes downtown. What was the name? It's like Custer's or something like that. I don't know. It's right on South Congress for people who have been here. But anyway, we walk over there and we're in line getting some barbecue. And the owner at first, or one of the guys working there, was like kind of throwing me some sass, like some shade. Like he was trying to hand my tray of barbecue over, but I was sort of like not really sure if he was handing it to me or his girlfriend. So I didn't grab it. And he was like keeping it away from her so he could hand it to me. And he was like, I'm handing you your tray, sir. Like I was like he wouldn't hand it to a woman or something. It's kind of a weird vibe. So anyway, but he was like pretty old. And I was like, okay, like, you know, weird energy, but you know, I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm going to enjoy my barbecue and hang. So we get all of our barbecue and everything's really good. Like, and this is Texas style barbecue. So you're talking like, you know, briskets, sausages, whatever, really good, like baked potato, macaroni and cheese, the whole nine yards. So we're sitting there eating and we're kind of over in the corner of the restaurant and it's all bench seating. So long tables, benches, and this is an old school place. I mean, it's been there since like 1910. So everything's kind of, you know, well-worn, faded in. Now, as we're just chatting, kind of an unremarkable dinner, I hear like some commotion behind me. And so I turn around and two guys' friends are panicking. And I see one guy just stand up and he's like, you know, he's not making any noise. And he's like going like he's trying to cough. And he's like, oh, oh, oh. And I'm like, oh my God, are you choking? Like no one says anything. So I'm not sure if this guy is like about to die or everything's totally fine. So I stand up, I go behind him and I'm like, hey, are you choking? He doesn't give like the choking, you know, the international sign for choking, like two hands near your throat. He gives me no indication if I should invade his personal space and try to help him or not, but he's starting to lose consciousness. So I was like, all right, executive decision. I'm going to try to give this guy the Heimlich. So of course the restaurant is packed. So I go in and I'm just like, I don't know this dude. So I just, and like, well, okay. So I wrap my arms around him and he tells me later that he's thinking like, does this guy even know what he's doing? Which is fair because I really don't. I was a lifeguard when I was like 16, boys. That's all my medical training right there. So, but I love the story of the guy who invented the Heimlich because he like invented it, spread it far and wide. And then he ended up getting to give it in a nursing home when he was 94 in 2016, right before he died. And he saved a woman's life. So anyway, all that's in my head. I make a fist. I go wrap around this guy and just pull tight. Nothing happens. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to choke to death in my arms. And he's starting to like saliva starting to come. You're kind of hearing that like a little death rattle or whatever. It's like, you know, like it's getting for real. His friends are full panic. My sister and girlfriend are frozen and there's like, we're in the corner of the restaurant. So there's no real way to get there. And I'm like, I'm the guy. And I go, hey man, I'm just going to hit you with it. And he's like kind of motioning like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay. I thought I was going to break a couple ribs. So I just go, boom, like full force. Everything I had, Heimlich, boom, projectiles out this huge piece of brisket. It falls on the table, saliva. And he does like the gasp, like, like the whole restaurant turns and it was absurd, boys, like just the rush of endorphins as I saved this man's life. So of course, dude, I'm like kind of embarrassed. I go sit back down. He's super embarrassed. He's like, dude, I skydive, I motorcycle. I thought I was going to go out like that. He's like, I just saw my life flash before my eyes. He's like, you saved my life. I was like, that's cool, man. No big deal. And it was like a pretty casual affair. So I went to the bathroom. And I come back, the owner of the restaurant who had been throwing me sass earlier comes out and he's like, hey man, I saw that whole thing from behind the bar. Like you just saved that man's life. He gives me a handshake and he's like, your meal's on us. It was the most small town hero thing I've ever been a part of. Like, I don't like to brag, but well, maybe I do, but it was so funny, dude, just to win like a barbecue meal for saving a man's life in front of my girlfriend was like the ultimate. Like I'll laugh about that forever. It was like really awkward and uncomfortable to invade someone's personal space. Like we got out of there as fast as we could, but I'm happy I did it. But just being rewarded with like, you know what, like this brisket's on me felt like the most small town hero thing ever. So anyway, I don't know. It just, the whole thing was like weird and pretty funny. And I was like, you know what? I gotta bring it up on the cast.
I mean, the only thing that'll back me up on this is I told Matt this before we started recording. Dude. But Cobb, I shit you not, I had to give the Heimlich to an 11-year-old girl at the bowling alley on Saturday.
Oh my God. Yeah. Dude, that thing, dude, you know what I'll say about that? It works.
And you think you were going to hurt that dude? How do you think? I mean, a 240-pound man, like giving the Heimlich to a tiny little 11-year-old girl. Like, I was just like, are you choking? And she's the same thing, like, ah, ah. And I'm like, all right, I got to try this. And it took like three legit, like,
pumps. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to hit it, man. But it works. Like,
yeah. And then she like ran off crying. And I was like, is she okay? And the mom came back, like, she's just embarrassed. And then she came back later and was like, thank you for saving me. And I'm like, all right.
Was this someone you knew?
Yeah, but it was intense because our buddy Tom was there, and he goes, "Man, I wasn't even sure what was happening. Everybody kind of froze," and he goes, "He just kind of hopped in." He's like, "You did save a life." I was like, "Ah, I feel weird saying I saved a life, but I'm with you." You're just like, "All right, well, somebody's got to do something."
The Ted Smith clutch rating, man. Like, that doesn't it feel good to know you have a high clutch rating? That's the only thing I took away from it, is I was like, man, that clutch rating's still high, baby.
Well, and that's the thing with that dude, right? Like people just don't know what to do, but like, that guy could have died.
Oh yeah, dude, people just panic and they freeze. And I feel like one thing that, you know, my parents working in medicine, I feel like I've always just, when people like get scared, like that's when I kind of come alive. And I'm like, just super calm. I rolled over to him, just like, no big deal. Boom. And it sounds like that's kind of how it went down with you. But like, is that, you think about the alternative, like, how did we even hear about the Heimlich? Like, we probably saw it like on TV or on like a sitcom or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just can't believe that was the story. Cause I had, for people listening, Cobb just said, "I have a story for you." And I was like, cool. And as you're telling that story, I was like, he's going to think I'm trying to big time him. But I'm like, dude, why Heimlich somebody literally Saturday?
Yeah.
Dude, isn't that insane that that works? Like, that's what the craziest part to me. It's just like, God, man, like, look at us, man. Podcast out here just saving lives. Look, podcast, I'll be honest with you. Okay. Shares of the podcast are down bad right now. The whole market's down.
Down.
We're out here saving lives. And that's what's important.
Matt, what'd you do? Have you saved a life lately?
Yeah. How many people did you save?
No, man. I'm
save someone at the 420 I mean,
we'll
bank
get
or
to
what?
What's Matt in, but it's not that. but I will say, you know, I'm the guy that I've been here. I was here before the show when Ted told me that story. And then I got kind of high just throughout the show. And then over the break, when Cobb was just like, "Guys, I have a story for you," and just left it at that. Like, just, hey, you know, throw it to me when we get in there. And then he's just like, Heimlich again. I mean, I cannot tell you how insane it was to just sit here and see all this transpire, boys.
Like, for the record, Bob and I can do this, but at no point do we recommend anybody choking. Like, don't. All right, Cobb, here's the difference.
We're highly trained experts, as you can tell.
I gave a speech to those three kids, like, I hate being like one of these people, but I was just like, all right, just, hey, everybody, let's take a breath. Let's slow down. The pizza's not going anywhere. There's plenty of mozzarella sticks.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. That's so funny, man. Look at us. Well, Matt, I feel like you have a chance to save lives, but it's going to be in a different way. You're going to be at the 420 bank and somebody's about to marry the wrong person or make a big financial mistake. And you're going to be like, no, don't lie on your taxes.
Matt is out there saving lives. It's helping people get healthy.
Definitely.
All right, Cobb, let's read some emails. That is unbelievable.
All right. First email from Guy at Barbecue Place. Thank you for saving my life. Second email from little girl at Bowling Alley. Thank you for saving my life, Ted Smith. No big deal. Ted and I do this kind of stuff all the time. Yeah, we do this kind of stuff all the time. Okay. So here's the thing. Controversial. This one says, please do not read on air. I'm going to read it, but I've stripped out all identifying information and I'm not going to say your name, but it was a cool email. And I think some people would like to be inspired by you out there. So, you know who you are, and I apologize, but great email, man or woman. Hey, fellas. So first things first, when I started listening and when I met you guys, I was a year into learning jiu-jitsu. Now, as of 2 weeks ago, I received my brown belt, which is one belt away from black. On top of that, I moved down to Seattle a year and a half ago. I've been volunteering with a professional organization down there that everyone has heard of. My new coach is one of the lead instructors from there. I've been grinding hard and trying to live off jiu-jitsu alone, and now it's paying off because not only have I received one job offer officially being brought in, but two job offers, the second being working for that professional organization as an instructor. I've been hustling, being diligent, and maintaining consistency, which is my theme for 2022, and it's starting to pay off. Just a small guy from a small town, moving to the big city and struggling to make what he loves his job. no degree, no savings, no backup plan. And now I'll be making, he listed the salary here, it's high, I'm not going to say it, a year doing what I love, making a real difference in that professional organization, government organization. I owe a lot of this to you guys. You've inspired me since the first day I turned on the podcast. And without you guys, well, I don't know if I would have taken some of the leaps that I have to make this a reality. So sincerely, thank you, all three of you. Much love.
Nice. Yeah, brown. I mean, a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is very hard to get to.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, right, because there's other martial arts that have like a lot more belts. Like, right, Jiu-Jitsu, I'm pretty sure, is just like white, blue, purple, brown, black.
I'm shocked. Why do you know that?
I mean, I trained Jiu-Jitsu for like a year. So.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's dope.
And like the I think the highest guy at our school at that time was like a purple belt. There's a couple like brown belts in there now. I mean, hell, there's a guy, Matt and I used to work with that, like, Kevin. Oh, Kevin from Metal Shop.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was like, dude, so I got him into that club, and I want to say he's like a, I think he might be a purple belt now.
Wow.
Wow.
That's super cool. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Lots to comment on from that last show, so let's go by bullet points.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Scott. I'll just, from the guy who reads them, thank you. We get some walls of text out here. Scoring on friends. As a dad and a guy, I get, from Ted, from you scoring on Joe. Scoring on friends. As a dad and a guy, I get lots of chances to score on people. And I got to say, it's best to score on people you've formally trained and played with. It just gives you more satisfaction. Or when your kid thinks you've lost a step at Xbox or an outdoor sport and is talking mad smack and you have to remind them who taught them the game. Talk S and I'll make you eat S. I don't care that you're seven.
He is right, by the way. So I scored on our buddy Joe, the mayor, and I saw him this past week and I told him, we talked about it. And I think in the end, everybody I've talked to, as we talked about on the Megacast as well, decided the same thing. It's more fun to play with your buddies, but if your buddy's the keeper in hockey or soccer, it's kind of fun to score on them.
Oh, yeah, too, definitely.
Overall, man, obviously, I'd rather have Joe between the pipes with me, but like, that was pretty fun.
Dude, and you get to ride on that for years, unless he wins that cup.
Don't even speak it into existence.
That's our hardware, Ted. I want to be drinking popcorn out of that cup come summer. Mexicans in Seattle. I went to Mexico twice last year, both PV and San Lucas. And man, the number of people with cousins who live near me in Wenatchee, Yakima or Wenatchee area blew me away. It was every tour guide or cabbie. In Puerto Vallarta, the tour guide was telling me that he turned down the offer to start a restaurant chain in Seattle with his brother called Ixtapa. And he kind of regrets it now because he would be retired and not 70 and still working. Yeah, Ixtapa's massive.
I was going to say, Ixtapa's good, too.
Whoa. Yeah, they are good. Cedro Wrestling. Oh, yeah, I was talking about Cedro Woolley Wrestling. As someone who wrestled varsity in the mid-2000s, Cedro and Lake Stevens were unbeatable. Both teams had amazing coaches and nationally ranked wrestlers. Dude, I'm glad somebody knew what I was talking about. I felt like I got way too like inside baseball local with that, but it's true. They were like, that town is legendary, like legendary for only one thing, and that's wrestling.
Well, it's ironic because I'm pretty sure the Ixtapa I went to was up in Stanwood.
Huh. Yeah. Horn use. After working in MA for 2 months, I'm assuming Massachusetts. For 2 months and driving around Boston every day, I'm way more liberal with the horn. It diffuses your rage. Definitely not theirs. And lets them know that they should be ashamed. LARP on. The friendly IT guy, Scott. P.S. With the economy the way it is, I'm definitely still holding my shares. Nice, Scott. Man. Let's go. Me too.
I was going to say, horns in Boston? No, can't see it.
Yeah, can't sell the dip, Scott. Come on, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, all right, well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Check out with what's maddening.
All right. Well, this weekend, let's see. Tyler was still had COVID for a little bit, and because I gave it to her, because, you know, what are you gonna do? And then, but she started testing negative Saturday, and I was very excited about that, as was she, because we had tickets to go see Royal Blood. So
nice.
Yeah, just in the nick of time, we were able to go out to Anaheim, which is, it's like 2 hours away, 2.5 with traffic on the way there, but 2 hours back, you know.
All right.
And it's worth it. And, you know, we were celebrating 6 years on and off when we were sick. But then, you know, this was a fun, like, celebration. And so, you know, it was a good time. It was like, I want to say it was our third time seeing Royal Blood together and my fifth time seeing them total. And I've met them 3 of those times. You know, so it's like, I've watched them come up, but like, I remember the first time, Cobb, you were there. It was Sasquatch, right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
At the Gorge.
They're good too.
Yeah. Like, that was when Out of the Black was their only song that was out and on the radio. And like, you know, they're just starting out, but they, I mean, they're massive. They're the whole tour sold out, and they play arenas in Europe. You know, they're not as big here, but I'm pretty sure their show at Showbox Soto a couple weeks ago was sold out. You know, last time they played the market and sold that out. And, you know, so they're just doing the thing where they're just coming up through bigger and bigger venues. And House of Blues Anaheim was a pretty sizable venue. It was packed. It was pretty wild. We ended up getting VIP passes, which I just paid for, which I'd never done. But I was just like, I'm just used to being in that section. I don't care. We're celebrating, you know, like we've, yeah, I'm in, you know, and because there was just a thing. It was like VIP services, but there was like a line that I could go stand in. And I was like, I'm going to just go talk to this lady. And she's like, yeah, I mean, you can just buy your way in there. And I was like, all right, yeah, this is the night to do it. I mean, if it's that easy, you know, but there's a little bit of like, an identity shift, you know, of like, I've always had VIP access, but like, it was because I worked for KISW, you know what, yeah. I mean, it's like, look, it's part of the deal, right? And this was just like, no, I just gave him my card and, you know, tried not to think too much about it. Wasn't too bad, but like,
that's a fair trade though too, is you guys don't drink.
Yeah, that's so like, that was,
if you're gonna spend, logic. I mean, I'm just guessing, but it's like, can we really spend $80 a person on this? And it's like, well, if you were sitting there having beers at a show, you probably would spend that same $160 in drinks.
Correct. So yeah, once, you know, the funny thing was like, my mind was made up because I saw the couple in front of me. Tyler was in line for food, right? And there was a long ass line for food. And I was like, I'm not having this. I'm not having how crowded it is in there. And, you know, Tyler's like, oh, I love the opener. I didn't know Cleopatra was opening. And I'm like, okay, she looks hot as fuck tonight. Like, it was point one. Point two, she's going to enjoy the whole show, right? Point three, we don't drink. It's the anniversary. We're just finally out of the house, you know? And like, yeah, I mean, the stars were aligned, right? I double checked my account just to be like, is this, you know, this isn't completely reckless at this point in time, right? Like, and it wasn't. And so it was just like, yeah. And but once the lady said, I knew the section, and she was like, you'll get drinks, or I mean, you'll pay for them, but like, you'll have someone bringing you drinks and food. Like, you'll have a waiter at the show.
Nice.
And then I was like, for real? Done. Like, and so I just had homies just bringing bottomless soda waters and a soft pretzel for good measure, just because I could.
I love a soft pretzel at any kind of event. I think it's my favorite.
Just because I could. And because we don't drink, the bar tab was like $20 at the end of the night. I still tipped him like 50%. And it's still like, sorry, that's probably your lightest tip of the whole night, bro. But like, I'm pretty chill. Yeah. So Royal Blood is awesome. It was cool seeing there. They have a third guy on stage because they have so many goddamn synths on the new record that they just had a guy doing the live synths. And I've been training one of our friends online who we know is kind of a DJ for our friends' parties, you know, but he also is building a synthesizer. So I've been like learning all about synthesizers over these past few months.
All right.
And then Royal Blood had one, and it was like, you know, he just picked his spots. It was awesome. It was a nice little addition to the live show. And yeah, it was fun just seeing, you know, I've talked to those guys a few times and they were so cool and like so deserving of just how far they've come. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun to watch them tear it up and just kind of think about first time was Deck the Hall Ball, like 2015. Right. And then,
yeah, because I think the End started playing them first before KSW did.
Yeah. And so they played Deck the Hall. Maybe that was 2014. And then I went to Sasquatch in 2015 or something like that. But either way, like, you know, it's been a slow, steady rise, you know, and like, it's like, oh, Royal Blood selling out arenas and, you know, in Europe, like, oh man, they're huge. Like that's some, and it's like, Kav always says, like, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. It's like, yeah, I've kind of seen them, you know, across that. So it was just a really fun night. And then Sunday I just watched F1. It was super windy here. I couldn't golf because there's too much dust everywhere. You couldn't even see the mountains. It was wild, but it was a good day to just be inside because that Miami race was dope.
It was. Cobb, before you hopped on, we were talking about, I don't know if you watch any of the F1 race in Miami,
but no, I heard it was going down though.
They set up a whole, so it was like around the stadium, the football stadium. And then they had like this whole area that looked like a beach with water and had actual yachts in it, but it was just fake water. And Matt and I were saying, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, ah, that seems kind of weird. And then by like Saturday watching qualifying, I was like, I want to be on one of those yachts and acting like I'm in the water.
Yeah. Give me the fake water paint.
Wow. Yeah. So they did not end up going down, what's the famous, is it Miami Beach Boulevard?
No, they were racing around like, geez, I don't even know what they call it anymore. It used to be Joe Robbie. Oh, it's the Hard Rock.
Is
it
Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah. Hard Rock Stadium. That's where like the straightaway was and stuff. And yeah, so they weren't down on like South Beach, but it was.
Yeah. Cause I know originally they were trying to do it like downtown. And I was like, that seems so insane in Miami.
Yeah. But it was pretty cool. And Matt and I both agreed, like, yeah, I'll act like I'm on a real boat and real water. Like, plus, can you imagine how awesome that would be? Like the fun of hanging out on a yacht plus F1 and unlike a yacht, like you're not really stuck there because it's just on the ground. You can just like hop off and go home.
Wait, so what was it? It's like, what do you mean by fake water? It was like a blue carpet with and people could just bring their boats out there or what?
So it was like a blue carpet of some sorts, but like these were big boats. Like they must have brought them in. Like you couldn't, there's no way you just like towed your boat over there. Like they, I don't know how they set it up. They made a point to make it look like it was sitting on Miami Beach, but it was just, or like in a harbor in Miami, but it was just that.
This looks like real water. That is not real.
Nope.
I mean, I know that the boats like are not in deep water or anything, but this looks like, wow, this is crazy. Okay. More research needed. I mean, I don't need to do it right now, but this looks insane, boys.
It was fun.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time for the Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Boys, this has to be at least partially real.
Oh, God.
Some of this water has to be real. Okay, I'm done. Well, I'm off it.
There was like a like river or something that went along one of the straightaways, but it wasn't on the beach. It was by a stadium.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay. Well, there was something I was going to talk about before we got into Cobb topic, but I got totally distracted by the Miami thing. So, yeah, the Cobb topic, Okay, so basically, God, sometimes these have like the dumbest origins, but I'm like taking this class right now and we have a lunch break. And so at lunch, I went and I was really hungry because it's super cold in the office. And so I went and I got like this big juicy burger and fries, and it was amazing. But it was like one of those situations where as soon as I finished, I was like, God, like school is going to be impossible to stay awake now. Or like this class is going to be impossible to stay awake for. So the cop topic this week is, what is something you crave, have it, and then instantly regret it? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. What is something you crave, have it, and then instantly regret it? And like something preferably you've done many times, but it could be a one-off. Boys?
I mean, the two things that come to mind quickly is like a serious like midday barbecue lunch. Like I did it a few weeks ago and then I was like, I got to go home and take a nap.
Oh, yeah, especially if there's a couple beers in there.
Yeah, and right. And then the other one, you know, I won't say the name of the place, but a certain fast food breakfast. Like every few months, I'm like, God, I love those sandwiches, this and that. And then like, as soon as I'm done eating it, I'm like, oh, like that was a bad idea. Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to explain. Like, look, if I get hammered and order Taco Bell at midnight, I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah, no big deal.
For some reason, that one place and their breakfast, which I love, but like, I got to remind myself, like, you don't want that. That's just, you just think you do as you're hungover.
They get me with their like lunches and dinners, honestly, at the airport at SeaTac. And then I'm always like, yeah. you feel bad every time. Why do you do this? Why do we do this?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, I'm trying to think.
Dude, one of my favorite sayings you say is you talk, oftentimes you'll drop that you hammered down a couple burgers. Like that's just a normal activity. Like, yeah, so I was down there, hammered down a couple burgers and went and said hello to some people. I'm like,
yeah,
I got hammering down burgers.
I got to stop saying rifling beers too. So I talked to a buddy the other day and he's like, yeah, I got to go hang out with my kids. I'll rifle some beers and then I'll come over and meet you. And before I could say anything, he goes, I'm saying that because you say that. He's like, I'm with my kids. I'm going to have two beers and then I'll come over and meet you. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. Ted, you rifle beers, you raw dog vegetables, and you hammer down burgers. Three things you've.
Life in the
just such an aggressive way to live. I love it. Living life with no laws, baby.
Matt?
The first thing that came to mind was the Greek cheese spiral from Trader Joe's. It's like some sort of pastry bread with like five different cheeses that you just like pop in the oven. And like bread and cheese in general is like just easy to overdo. And it's just dense and no nutritional value. But those Greek cheese spirals, because of the way that they're shaped and cut up, like you can just be going to town and, you know, it's like, yeah, you eat a little bit too much of that. And it's like, well, there goes the afternoon. Took a few naps during the Seahawks games this season because of that.
I know those naps well.
Well, you know, I mean, they weren't the best games. It wasn't a great season. Some of those fourth quarters were snooze fests, but like I didn't help the odds. It was like, yeah, that was a lot of bread and cheese back there after the halftime.
Yeah, I would also like different kind of situation, but I'd say like sauerkraut on a hot dog when you're out in public. Because I love sauerkraut, but it's like 10 minutes after you eat it, you burp, and it's like, oh my God, I should not have eaten sauerkraut randomly in the middle of the day.
Yeah, seriously. I know, but when you're getting like a dog hot off the grill and it's just sitting there, it does feel like it calls to you, you know?
Oh, yeah, you got some deli style mustard on there. Like this is going to be freaking delicious.
But no half stepping, you know?
I remember when I used to golf, like playing with somebody and like at the turn, and we'd started early in the morning. It's like 11 a.m. and I'm just hammering down like a quarter pound hot dog with sauerkraut mustard. And like by hole like 13, I was like, that was a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Before we go, Matt and I talked about it a little bit. Like, I know the Broncos are going to be good, but did you really have to name your dog Bronco? You might go into the Hall of Fame as a goddamn Seahawk, Russell.
I mean, that is a low blow. That's like,
man,
I don't know. I respect that Shaq embraces the cities he plays in, but to name your dog, I mean, that hurts.
Yeah, and Shaq has some regrets. I'll leave it at that.
Wow. Wow.
From CTV for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.